Todd, a couple of guys said yesterday that they've kind of enjoyed seeing you over the last 2 weeks kind of add a little bit more of your fingerprint to the defense and just do a little bit more than it had been done. Is that feeling mutual? Is that just for you being able to do?
Yeah, I mean, you can't change a lot of things overnight, you know. When a lot of guys are used to doing a lot of things in mid-season, you kind of got to go with some of the things and kind of gradually grow as you go, and that's been the case the past 2 weeks.
Seeing the guys who, you know, maybe weeks ago just kind of looking like a really difficult unit, almost like zombies, all of a sudden really kind of playing out there and making things happen.
I mean, it's good to see them execute and getting better. I mean, still we got ways to go, but, you know, they are getting better and they're showing positive enforcement.
Todd, why Kurt Coleman over Nate Allen?
I feel Kurt right now is more vocal, and we talked to Nate. Nate needs to be a little bit more vocal and a little bit more decisive, and at the time, we think Kurt's the best way to go, Kurt and Colt. And Colt's been playing well, and we really didn't want to sit Kurt down. I mean, it was a tough choice. You know, Nate's going to play, but Kurt going into the game, probably from experience factor and knowledge factor, would be just a little bit ahead of him.
What is it about Colt that's impressed you over the last couple of weeks that's forced his way into the lineup?
You know, he has savvy, he has instinct, and he knows how to play the game. You know, his biggest strength is knowing his weaknesses and playing off of that, and he's just been a pleasant surprise the past 2 weeks.
How tough of a decision is that when a guy is a high-round draft pick? I mean, does that factor into any decisions as a coach, whether to start or sit? Or?
Well, as a coach, you just try to play the best player.
The last 3 weeks from like guys like Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox, it seems like, you know, they've gotten to the quarterback a lot more lately.
They picked it up lately. You know, their work habits and their practice habits have gotten a lot better. You know, they've taken accountability for and they're really trying to learn from the older guys. Cullen's teaching them a lot. You know, Trent's teaching them a lot. You know, Brazier's teaching them a lot. And they learned a lot from Washburn. It's really just starting to come together for them.
Todd, how frustrated are you about this 8-game drought since an interception, and what can you do to somehow change it?
I wish we can just get about 20 of them, but that doesn't happen like that. You know, you try and you fight for the ball every time, and you just keep going for the ball, and hopefully it bounces your way. But, you know, you work at it, you do drills at it. The guys are aware of it. You know, I'm aware of it. Everybody else is aware of it. You just got to make it happen and keep plugging.
AJ makes that catch where Cromartie is—it's like right there, and the ball somehow doesn't go into. I mean, do you feel the curse sometimes, where you guys have been so close, and it just
no, it's not a curse. You know, you just you shake your head sometimes, but you got to keep fucking at it. You know, he went for the ball. He made a good play. He missed it. You know, he'll come back. Hopefully, he'll get it this week.
So you have seen guys in position to make
trouble. Yes.
How have the changes up front the last 2 weeks helped with the secondary and coverage?
I think we're mixing things up a little bit more. You know, there are times where we're helping up front and times we're helping in the back. And just having a good mix overall kind of helps the coverage and then freeing them guys up a little bit up front too.
Was that invigorating? I mean, before all those turnovers happened, you guys were 13-10. Your line was really getting after the quarterback. You had to have a really good feeling about what you were seeing there for the first half and then part of the third quarter.
If it was still the first half right now, I'd have a good feeling.
Are you preparing with the expectation that RG3 is going to be the starting quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, he's practicing hard. We got to prepare for both, you know. Both guys are playing well. You know, they're playing well as a team, so we just have to make sure we're on top of our assignments.
You got a better kind of a blueprint this time around because you're able to do more things and how to attack him?
I will only be able to answer that after the game. No, I don't. Feel it's a blueprint or non-blueprint. I think we're prepared. We're going into play. We just have to play well.
When you played him, he was 14 of 15. He had a perfect passer rating. He ran for 84 yards. How is your defense different now than it was?
Well, I think we were in position then. We just have to make some plays. You know, we gave up some plays then that they made. You know, give them credit. They made some good plays, hopefully, over trial and error. The past few weeks, we've gotten a little bit older, a little bit smarter, a little bit wiser, and play a little bit harder. And this time around, we'll put up a better fight for them.
The question's been posed to Andy this year about why rookie quarterbacks are coming into the league playing well. And he's answering from an offensive-minded perspective. From a defensive-minded perspective, why do you think whether it's RG3, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, quarterbacks with no experience are winning games in the NFL?
Well, I can't say it's solely the quarterbacks. Some of them have good defenses. Some of them have a good team built around them. You know, a lot of them have good coaches built around them and try not to let them beat themselves and try to make them do what they can do. It's a combination of all those things. And, you know, some of them are lucky. Some of them are not as lucky. You know, Wilson and RG3 and Luck, those guys are doing well. There are some guys who aren't doing that well. I mean, Tannehill's having a good year, too, down in Miami. And you can say Foles is doing some good things, but the wins aren't going to come for everybody. So, you know, you're kind of juggling with that one. So I really can't answer that one.
A noticeable difference between rookie quarterbacks now compared to when you played?
Ooh, that was so long ago. The rookie quarterbacks back when I played, you know, it would be unfair to judge because their stats after that, I can remember everything they've done, so I can't really see them as a rookie. But the Marinos and all those guys of the world, I mean, you can't mess with those guys until it's down the line, so I'll be lying if I try to compare them right now.
Namdi said he wished the changes on the defense had happened earlier, that the season could have been saved. Do you feel that way as well?
No, as a football coach, you know, you go every week, and every week's a different week, as well as a player. You can't look back on the season until after the season. You know, things happen during the year that you have to adjust and adapt to, and you just move forward.
If the change had been made earlier, do you think you guys would be in a bit different position then?
If I knew the answer to that, I'd be sitting here with a turban and a crystal ball. I really couldn't tell you. Colin's been solid. You know, he's been nicked up a little bit early on. He's come on of late. You know, he's been a great mentor to the younger guys. It doesn't show in the statistics every week, but Colin has been playing some good football. You know, the best I've seen him play since I've been here. I haven't been here long, but the past couple of weeks, he's really been, from a technique standpoint, a quickness standpoint, he's been playing well.
At this time last year, you were coaching a team that had a lot of uncertainty about the future, particularly with the players. What did you express to them last year, and what do you express to the guys this year?
You know, it's just being professional, and we all have a job to do, and we love that we love doing. So come in, make sure you're always doing the right thing, and make sure you're always on top of your game, and keep working.
Big Curry's coming along.
Randy's coming along. You know, it's difficult when you change D-line coaches in mid-season, so he has to learn another thing. That's a minor setback, but I think he'll conquer that, and I think he's going to be fine.
It seems like when he's out there a lot, it's on rundowns or first downs, not necessarily pass rushing downs.
No, I mean, he's out there. It's just kind of by series and go by how I feel. If Trent and Brandon are tired, then he gets to go in the game if they need a spell. So it's not necessarily rundowns. It's kind of a feel for the game. Or if they're getting double teamed a lot, then you spell the guy and they just happen to run the ball while he's in there. It's not necessarily run pass downs for him.
And the decision to move Michael Kendricks back over to the weak side, put Jamar Chaney into the starting lineup.
You know, as you look at the film, all year going in, we looked at it. Michael's a little short over there on that side. His natural position is Will, where he could run. So we try to take less thinking out of it and put him on the other side where he can play like he played in college.
Did you guys consider that a lot sooner? I mean, have you been thinking about it at stages during the year?
I don't know if everybody's been thinking about it at stages during the year, but as you sit back in the bye week and look at some things, then you come out of it, you kind of look at it more and more, and you try to find ways to help him make plays, and that Will linebacker helped him a lot more.
During the bye week area that he
No, so we were looking at film during the bye week, and then as the weeks went on after the bye week, you could see more and more where things would benefit him on the other side.
Jamar, getting back into the lineup, you know, he led the team in tackles. It took him some time to get back into a starting position. Why was that?
You know, he's a tough player. Initially, when Michael came in at the Sam linebacker spot, you know, Michael's quicker. Michael moves around. And Jamar was nicked up early in the year, and he got hurt. So he sat out, and Akeem took advantage of his chances to play Will linebacker. And, you know, he's a pretty stout run player himself. So we had a couple good outside linebackers going. And when Chaney got hurt, it was easy to see how Michael took over the spot, and it just took Chaney a while to get back to see where he was practicing well, to see, try to make room for him to play, and then to put Michael at his natural spot just seemed like the right thing to do in smooth transition.
So there's a little correlation here. When you guys stopped running the wide nine, that you could then move Michael over and play Jamar. I mean, I feel like when you guys played the wide nine, you liked Akeem in there more.
No, the move had nothing to do with the wide nine. It was just that Michael's a better will. At Sam, you take much more of a pounding, and a bigger guy needs to be at Sam as opposed to the will linebacker where you can scrape and run lateral a little more.
Okay.